Hello and welcome to another episode of the Al-Qasimi Foundation podcast, a monthly podcast about research, education and arts in the UAE. My name is Luis Carlos Soto, and on this episode you will listen to our resident researcher, Sunga Lee, talk about her research on entrepreneurship, innovation and the startup scene in the UAE and the wider GCC.
So, Sunga, you are currently pursuing your PhD at Stanford University in International Comparative Education and Organizational Studies, and are in fact due to complete that very, very soon. And you say you're broadly interested in how nation states, especially Arab Gulf states, negotiate changing demands of a globalized world and adapt global models around youth development, education, entrepreneurship, and innovation in their respective local context as part of the national and human development agenda. So to start us off, can you talk to us a little bit more about what exactly your research covers and what all this means?
So my research specifically looks at how the Gulf states adopt global models of development pertaining to entrepreneurship and youth development, and how they create programs and structures and incentives to engage with the national population, especially the youth and students, to enter into new kind of opportunities around business development and startup in preparation for the future and around the ideas of building a knowledge economy and a fourth industrial revolution.
So there are some kind of terms that I just want to unpack a bit when we say knowledge economy, when we say fourth industrial revolution. For maybe some of our listeners who are not familiar with these concepts, can you go into those a little bit more?
Sure. When governments and when international development communities talk about knowledge economies and the fourth industrial revolution, they talk about it in looking at, you know, what are the skills and what are the jobs of the future, knowing the rapid changes that we have seen that's based off of smart technologies, based off of artificial intelligence and general information systems. It's really hard for us to predict what's going to come in the next 3, 4, 5, 10, 15 years. So the big challenge is to try to figure out how do we educate and train young people to be ready for the future. So one way that the global international community and the international education community has focused on is what does it mean to develop entrepreneurial skills in young people so that they have the skills, the understanding, and the knowledge to be able to create their own futures, whatever it may be for them.
Mm-hmm. And this is the kind of the big topic of your PhD, which I understand is made up of three separate articles. Can you go a little bit more in depth about what your dissertation specifically is covering?
Sure, if I'm to kind of run through those different chapters of my dissertation. So the first article specifically looks at the rise of an entrepreneurship for development agenda globally. So giving us a global picture, a macro perspective of what is happening from 1950s all the way to the present day in how development discourse talks about education and entrepreneurship and business development in links with youth, human development, and community development. And my second chapter of the dissertation starts to give a story of the Arab Gulf, looking at national policies and government-initiated organizations to see how are Gulf states, particularly smaller Gulf states, such as the UAE, Qatar, Bahrain, and Oman, conceptualizing and interpreting these global models that are promoted by the United Nations, the World Bank, etc., into their local context. And my last chapter of the dissertation specifically looks at what are the organizations doing. We know what's going on globally, we know what the Gulf states and the rulers are trying to do, but then how are organizations actually carrying this news of entrepreneurship as a mm-hmm. potential beacon of hope?
So I'm kind of seeing a bit of a funnel here. You've got sort of big international bodies like the UN into nations, you know, mm-hmm. you said UAE, Qatar, Oman, and then into sort of organizations who are trying to implement not just then the policies of governments, but then the policies of international bodies as well.
Yes, that is very well put.
And so this specific interest in the Gulf, I kind of want to explore that a bit more as well, because you've worked in the Middle East before you even started pursuing your PhD. So maybe talk a little bit more about how that experience has impacted your interest and outlook on this topic that you're exploring.
Yeah, my research journey, if I would describe that, of course, can't be separated from my time working in the Middle East, particularly in the Arab Gulf. So I started more in a more traditional educational background, working with an education nonprofit that was initiated by members of the royal family at one of the Gulf countries and help them really envision what does it mean to adopt a global model for teacher leadership development in links with the Teach for All initiative that came out of the U.S. And it was in working with these kind of organizations and building an educational teacher development program for them and having to negotiate both the expectations from the country and the funders and the patrons of the organizations with what is being expected from global discourse, global expectations of a wider global network, and putting these two together was not the easiest task for myself working in this organization and the organizational leadership to contextualize it to the realities on the ground. So these experiences really informed my own research interests, and my interest in entrepreneurship kind of came at as initially as more of an afterthought, but then became my main area of focus because I started noticing that more and more Gulf countries started to have all these startup pitch competitions. And for me, it felt like it came out of nowhere, but there was a huge emphasis on it. So I became a lot more curious of where did this come from and how is this playing out on the ground right now as it's continuously developing.
So can you tell us a little bit about what is a day-to-day work? You've been talking about these organizations, these governments, and there's, I'm sure, a lot of interviews going on, but I'm kind of curious what these methods and methodologies have been while you've been here.
So while I've been in the Ras Al Khaimah, as you've mentioned, a lot of my work has centered around interviews and observations of different programs, activities, and events. And thankfully, even though fieldwork has been quite difficult in the days of COVID, the UAE has been one of the few countries that have opened up for not only researchers, but also opened up in terms of programs and activities and events that are being held in person. So what I have been doing is attending these events. So a couple weeks ago and even a few months ago while I've been here, I've attended various startup pitch competitions and events that coincided with the expo, where a lot of university students came out from Zayed University, for example, to showcase their startup ideas, their prototypes, as a way to kind of pitch and showcase their work. And so I've been doing a lot of those kinds of observations, and I've spent quite a lot of time interviewing various staff at incubators, accelerators, university-based entrepreneurship centers, co-working spaces, etc., in the UAE in person and also virtually in Bahrain, Oman, and Qatar.
Are you able to give some examples of what some of these organizations are?
Yes. Sure. So within the UAE and within Ras Al Khaimah, I spent some time talking to people at RAK Economic Zone, and they recently launched a co-working space. So I spent time speaking with them. I spent some time talking with people from the Youth Hub, which is a federal authority that oversees youth initiatives, and one of the initiatives under the Youth Federal Authority is promoting entrepreneurship and entrepreneur activity among that local Emirati. So I spent some time talking with the Youth Hub, members of the Youth Council, and a little farther away from Ras Al Khaimah, all the way down in Abu Dhabi, I've spent some time talking and speaking with staff of StartAD, which is a global accelerator based in NYU Abu Dhabi. And I've actually spent some time observing their programs virtually as well.
Mm-hmm. And I'm interested in learning a little bit more about sort of what these programs are that you've been observing. And you also mentioned the startup pitches, these competitions. Mm-hmm. Curiosity, I'm wanting to know a bit more about these.
Okay, so the startup pitch competitions and some of these organizations often come hand in hand, and other times they are separate entities, separate events that occur. So a lot of the organizations that I'm interviewing are incubators and accelerators and startup studios, such as one in Sharjah called Sharat. What these organizations essentially do is they call out for applications, they recruit aspiring entrepreneurs or existing entrepreneurs with a prototype, with a venture idea, and they take them through a journey of development from point A to point B, which may start from an ideation stage. If you are an early aspiring entrepreneur with just an idea, you might kind of come with an idea, and these programs help a group of people or individuals think about how to take this idea, validate their model, see if there's a customer market base out there, create a prototype, and usually these programs culminate in a startup pitch competition where the participants pitch their ideas to a panel of judges, and there is some sort of a competition and a prize involved. So that journey is something that I've been observing, and it's been quite central to my research right now.
And are these ideas that are generally pitched, is there a common theme through them? Are they, tech focused or banking focused?
Sure, it's a mix depending on both the region, the organization in itself, or it could be as general and agnostic as it is. So what something that's interesting that I found in talking to these organizations is that a good number of incubator accelerators within the Arab Gulf tend to be industry agnostic. Even though they do have a tech focus, and there are particular accelerators, incubators, especially those in Bahrain that focus only on fintech, for example, for some of the more broader ones that are open to wider audiences, which often include students and nationals, are industry agnostic. So it could be from F&B, so which is food and beverage, to all the way to machine learning, AI-based solutions, to ed tech. And they offer different kinds of programs targeted at different people.
Right, yeah. And I know that AI is a huge focus within the UAE, not unsurprising. Now, throughout the discussion so far, we've been throwing around some terms like entrepreneurship and innovation, and I'm through our previous discussions and through now, I'm kind of getting the impression that they're quite vague, and there's a lot of different interpretations of what they can mean. So in the context of your research, how are you sort of defining these?
Sure. For me, when I'm approaching my research and thinking about entrepreneurship and innovation together, I tend to take the definition of entrepreneurship as one that is innovation-based and growth-inducing. So more tech-based, more idea-based, and less of your typical mom-and-pop shops, coffee shops, burger joints, etc., that in itself are important entrepreneurial startup type SME, small, medium-sized businesses. But the focus of my research really looks at more tech-based, innovation-based startups. The kind of imagery that you might think about when you think of Silicon Valley, for example. Mm-hmm. And I focus on this because the Gulf states, especially the UAE, are emphasizing and the need to grow this particular industry for their future economy. And that's where a lot of the money has been at. That's where a lot of the attention's been given. So that's an area that I've been looking at.
So kind of carrying on with this theme, how would you describe or give an overview of the entrepreneurship landscape in the Gulf States?
So the entrepreneurship landscape in the Gulf States are very young and very new. So if we look at the founding dates for not only these accelerators and incubators, but also when governments started to initiate various efforts, most of them start after 2015. So we're in 2022 now. COVID happened in 2020. So in reality, they're about 5 years old. And the UAE is one of the countries among the Gulf that's new but has expanded rapidly. Saudi Arabia, for example, has had a slightly longer history, but it's had slower growth. Bahrain and Oman and Qatar are kind of catching up. There's almost no activity or very little activity happening in Kuwait. But overall, it's a very young ecosystem, but simultaneously with a lot of money and a lot of activity and hype around it. And one of the challenges that come up from it being very young and also having grown rapidly is that the ecosystem in itself is also quite disjointed. And there's not a lot of communication across the board. And so one big thing that I would say is missing and lacking from the ecosystem compared to other ecosystems, whether it's in the US, UK, Germany, China, Kenya, India even, is this lack of a community logic, which I describe as these various entities within the ecosystem really feel like they're a part of a wider community and wanting to collaborate and be helpful for with one another. But here, what I've noticed is more of a sense of competition because of a small market pool, it all being new and wanting to get the kinds of legitimacy and the endorsements. So it's quite competitive and there's not a lot of communication happening between various organizations involved.
Right. So when we talk about community, we're talking community among entrepreneurs or amongst the organizations that we've been mentioning previously, or even within different government sponsors. So what kind of, where in the funnel are we talking about that?
So community? In that funnel with the community, it's all across the board, but mostly within the organizations and in links with government entities. Mm-hmm. Of course, entrepreneurs will always be networked with one of its pretty small group of people in the Gulf. So they know each other. A lot of people know of each other. But it's really these organizations and how they communicate with one another and even with organizational bodies in creating collaborative partnerships.
And other than sort of regulatory policies, where exactly are the gaps now between that, the articulation of that vision and the numerous stakeholders who are involved in actualizing it?
So in addition, so aside from the regulatory pieces, one big thing is the lack of angel investors. It's a growing thing right now, and it's a little early to tell, and there's definitely more in Saudi compared to other places, and there is a small number of people that are coming up out of family offices in Abu Dhabi and in Dubai that are becoming more interested in investing locally. But one thing is, but on the investor front, a lot of it goes around the lack of education and understanding of what's actually happening locally. For a lot of these big family businesses, investment portfolios, VC funds that are based here, they've spent a lot of time abroad looking at high impact investments, but haven't had an opportunity to really know what's going on within the country and within the region. And so there hasn't been as much, I think, activity to help bridge those gaps. So I think a big opportunity of these, you know, organizations that I call incubators, accelerators, even economic zones have, is to kind of bridge those gaps and bring those investors into these competitions, into these ideas more, whether it's through mentorships or actual funding, so that they have an idea of a pool of where potential high impact investments could be right in their backyard. So I think that's one big piece. Second gap is around capacity building. And I go back to the notion of education and finding the right people who understand the context, who know the landscape to be able to teach people what it means to be an entrepreneur and the kinds of skills they need, in a way that's more contextual to the region than just giving, you know, broad lessons around how to be an entrepreneur or characteristics of an entrepreneur that any person can find on Google, YouTube, find a book on it. And because a lot of what I've observed in these programs have been quite abstracted and very global and not much about the particular context of the UAE or Saudi Arabia or Bahrain or Oman. So tailoring a lot of those programs to be more contextual and matching the kinds of startups that these accelerators are funding to labor market needs or potential visions of economic growth to a particular emirate, for example, they could be a good way to co-partner with young talent that's out here if these countries are serious about growing entrepreneurship locally. So those two things would be the biggest gaps.
Do you have any kind of examples of positive changes within these programs or actual success within the programs themselves?
Sure. One positive change that I've observed, and it might be my own bias too, but something that I think is a good move that shows a lot more potential, has been with one particular organization. I won't mention names for the sake of their anonymity, shifted their entire program structure from a traditional accelerated model into a studio model. And studio models have gained greater attention within the wider entrepreneurship startup scene globally, but that kind of model has not existed in the region before, and they're one of the first ones to shift to a studio model. I'll explain what a studio model is compared to an accelerated model. So traditionally and more typically, what we see are these incubator accelerator programs accepting a cohort of people and kind of taking them through a 6-week to, if it's long, a 6-month journey to prototype, and it ends with a startup pitch competition. But with what a studio does, it's the organization takes a bigger cut and a bigger stake in the entrepreneurs. And so they're a lot more selective and a lot more targeted in the area that they decide to fund. So the organization re-geared so they can focus on a particular industry area. So, for example, fintech solutions. And they only look at fintech solution startups. Doesn't matter, you know, even if you have brilliant ideas and a completely different industry, doesn't matter. They're just going to only focus on that so that they can bring in the mentors, funders, investors, and industry partners that have expertise and work with early stage startups from an idea stage all the way to prototyping and market. And so they become almost like a co-founder in the process. And I think that's actually a good move. And we've seen a lot more success with studio models in other places in the world. And I'm quite hopeful that this might become a good model to see local startups arise and move beyond Series A without having to go elsewhere first and then come back to get the kinds of investments they need.
And on the flip side of that, what pitfalls are you noticing that maybe need change?
One of the pitfalls I'm noticing is mostly with a lot of the business centers and co-working spaces that are supposed to help startups and offer workshops, mentorship, training to allow entrepreneurs to move from their stage to the next stage, whether it's from pre-seed to seed or from a seed stage to Series A where you get a lot more investments, is that a lot of these spaces, in particularly in the UAE but also elsewhere, have become like real estate spaces where it just becomes an office rental space for subsidized cheap prices. And there's not a lot of support or accountability given to these businesses to help them really succeed as ventures and as startups, but rather kind of taking in rents. And these business centers are able to survive, and hopefully the entrepreneurs also survive. So it's devolved into that, which I think is quite unfortunate, because a lot of these co-working spaces, business centers, started out wanting to be in startup hub, offering resources and launching successful businesses out of their hubs.
So moving to wrap up our conversation today, I kind of want to look at, you know, as someone who's seen everything in that funnel from governments down to the entrepreneurs themselves, and are able to see some of these pitfalls and challenges and the positive changes. What recommendations do you have for policymakers and for these entrepreneurship supporting organizations to help further the ecosystem?
In terms of policy recommendations, first thing would actually be around incentive structures, especially financial incentive structures and regulatory markets. And because a lot of state actors and policymakers do have some leverage in being able to influence banking laws, access to funding, access to loans, so some adjustments on that front would actually be quite helpful in accelerating entrepreneurship and startup activity, both for the ones who are coming from abroad, but also the ones, especially the ones who are locally based and trying to start something locally. And then second thing for policymakers would be looking more at targeted aspects and targeted accelerators, studio models, et cetera, where you invite startups to solve more particular challenges with a proven demand so that the demand issue is resolved. Because one of the most important things for startups is a customer base. So when you're trying to attract startups or to grow startups and create this kind of ecosystem, then the people who are coming in need to know there's a demand for whatever product that they will be building. So if the policymakers are going to be a little more involved in working with a lot of these entrepreneurship support organizations, especially as they have their own within, for a lot of the government ministries, have their own accelerators, incubation, startup support programs. So it would be wise to coordinate across various entities and bodies to identify strategic areas and priority areas in promoting entrepreneurship in those sectors, instead of making it an open for all, anybody for all aspects. Right. And lastly, it would just be communication and centralized location for information.
It's one of the first things you said.
It is one of the first things that's said, and it will be one of the last things I say again to reiterate, is allowing people to know what's out there in terms of resources that are available, funding that's available, programs that are available, so that if they are interested, they know where to go and know that there are support structures out there within the region, within the country. Because there's a lot out there, it's just being highly underutilized or highly inaccessible for people at early stages.
Yeah. And on a final note, and speaking of those people who are budding entrepreneurs, what advice do you have for them?
It's a hard question. I think for the budding entrepreneurs who are thinking about it, my advice would be to do your homework. As you know, stereotypical it might sound, what I've noticed in talking to a lot of the entrepreneurs is they haven't done a lot of homework in terms of how much work it will take. If they're really serious about this business, it's not going to be a side hustle. Like, it might start as such, but that shouldn't be the goal. And part of doing homework is not just on their ideas, but also really understanding the market and the ecosystem they're participating in. So if you're from the UAE, for example, or you're from Ras Al Khaimah and want to start something in Ras Al Khaimah, you better know what's out there in Ras Al Khaimah, not just in terms of resources and entities that are there to support you in your business, but also understand the culture and the market of the city, of the emirate, of the country, so that you can start small and then continue scaling globally.
Right.
If you would like to know more about Sunge's research, you can find her paper on our website, www.alkasimifoundation.com. And if you would like to get in touch about what you heard today in the podcast, you can email me at luis.r@alkasimifoundation.rec.ae. Thank you once again for listening. We'll see you next month. Goodbye.